This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, scientists say a massive asteroid is heading toward Earth at more than 50,000 miles per hour.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Do you think it can get here before we have to do the Sports Center segment?
Because no,
that would be
no.
Welcome relief
for me. That's pretty quick. I mean, you
like,
know,
I didn't
means...
do the show yesterday, and I didn't do the Sports Center segment. That was the great gift, not doing the Sports Center segment. No. Welcome to PTI,
this, but there
boys
was
and girls.
No Sports Center yesterday.
Really? Well, there's one today. In today's episode, the Bucks fire Mike Budenholzer, the Leafs lose again, and Theo Epstein joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with the Warriors pounding the Lakers last night, 127-100, to even that series at 1-1. Anthony Davis, who dominated game one with 30 and 23, had 11 and 7 last night. Wilbon, how does this result affect the way you look at this series?
Tony, it makes me believe, and maybe, you know, I shouldn't, can't let one game very early in a series have such an effect on my view of it, but it makes me think that Golden State is the better team and they're going to win this series, whether it could still be a long series, 6 or 7 games. And I just think that the firepower, the Lakers defense is really good, but the Laker offense is not good enough to sort of withstand the sort of back and forth you have to have once there are adjustments, and Steve Kerr knows how to make them like he did last night with the lineup, that the Laker offense can't counter. You know, so maybe they'll be able to suppress Golden State with that really good defense for a couple of games, but I don't see it happening 4 times. You know, Klay Thompson can be the second best player on his team, and it's just fine. He doesn't need to sort of dominate the play the way the Lakers appear to need Anthony Davis to do it, and it seems too much to expect for him to do it 3 or 4 times in a series, a couple of times maybe. Yeah. So I just think there's some personnel advantages that Golden State has. And Steph Curry, you know, is wondrous. And even on a night where they just blitz him defensively, he can come up with a dozen assists or more. I just think Golden State figured out a lot of stuff last night.
It's so interesting for me to hear you say that now you give Golden State the advantage, because you sat here a couple of days ago on this show and you said big ball beats small ball all the time.
I believe that. Well, I still believe that.
Okay, but you're wrong. Okay, but you're wrong, because it didn't happen last night. Not only were the Warriors small, as they always are, they were smaller last night.
Smaller.
Because they took Looney out, basically. And they went out, and for the second game in a row, I believe they hit 21 threes, which is 63 points. And the Lakers hit 10 threes, which means Golden State is plus 33 at that point. And that, I sat here and said to you, Golden State has to think this was a fluke the first game, because the script Golden State writes to win is make a lot of threes and win that way. There was no foul line disparity in game two like there was in game one. And Anthony Davis had no game. He had no game whatsoever. He was minus 19 from his scoring, and he was minus 16 from his rebounding. And like you, I look at this game and I think Golden State is the better team.
Yeah.
So I think it was a fluke the first game.
I do, Tony. And listen, I'm not backing off my great big players. I'm taking them. But as you know, Anthony Davis, and he's a talented guy. I don't want to climb on this bandwagon that's just rolling over Anthony Davis. I don't want to be on that. But he doesn't do it every single night. And you know what? Most people don't do anything every night or every day. And so Anthony Davis doesn't seem to be able to do that. Now, I expect him to have a great game three back here in Los Angeles across the street from where I'm sitting tomorrow. But if you can't summon that all the time, Golden State's going to be better. But you going against Wilt, you going against Kareem, you going against Russell and Olajuwon and Shaq. Are you doing that? No, you're not doing that. Willis Reed, the captain.
Are you going against Jordan?
No.
Are you going against Jordan?
Never.
All right, I got a counter-argument. All right, so let's move on.
The Bucks are out of the playoffs, and now Mike Budenholzer's out of a gig. The Bucks fired their head coach despite his team finishing with the best regular season record in the league. And despite Giannis having been injured in that first-round series loss to the Heat. Coach Bud was at the helm when the team won the title 2 years ago, beat Phoenix, Tony. Does this decision make sense to you, and where do you think the Bucks should go from here?
I'm stunned by it. I'm absolutely stunned by it. I have since read stories that there was, I guess, backroom discontentment with Budenholzer, and maybe Giannis didn't like the way he applied himself defensively in terms of strategies. I look at the guy's record, Mike. He goes to the Atlanta Hawks. He wins 38 games the first year. He wins 60 the second year. He goes to the Bucks. He wins 60 games the first year. This is his career record in five seasons with the Bucks. 271-120. That's a 69.3 percentage. You know who's got a better percentage than that? Nobody is the correct answer because he's got the best percentage. And he won a title. And now he's canned when his best player missed 2.5 games in a playoff series. It just leads me to believe, well, you know, whose ring do you have to kiss to get that job?
Well, if he had another one, they could kiss that one and he'd still be employed. When I was a young pup of a sports writer, one of the things I learned from Anthony Kornheiser was pro sports are about the playoffs. And while Coach Bud is a builder, and the record that you cited suggests that he knows how to build a program, but Tony, he doesn't cash it in because he couldn't do it in Atlanta and in Milwaukee, all right, where he lost to Toronto after being up 2-0 in the conference finals. He was down 2-0 to Phoenix, probably should have lost that one. Tony, there are still in the playoffs too many timeouts he doesn't call, too many defensive strategies that aren't employed. He loses to Jimmy Butler with no time left, falling down, catching a pass, throwing it in the basket, and Giannis is not there covering him, and Brook Lopez, the best defensive player, probably one of the two best, isn't on the floor. He fails in those big moments, fails sometimes spectacularly. So, no, Tony, it's not a surprise that he's out of a gig. And if you want to build a program, go get Coach Bud right now. If you want to finish it off, he may not be your guy. Washington, have you built anything there lately?
No.
Anything with the Wizards? Bring him in.
No. They
stink. You know, maybe he wants to build something.
Stop it. Three of the last four coaches to win the NBA title have been fired. Vogel was fired. Nurse
playoffs,
was fired.
Yeah.
Budenholzer was fired.
I want
Amazing.
To hire a nurse.
Return to
I'll
hockey.
Take nurse right now.
The Florida Panthers, totally on fire. Three in a row over the Bruins to end that series. Now two in a row on the road against Toronto after winning last night 3-2. Florida finished eighth in the Eastern Conference. Now they've beaten the best team in the league, and they're up 2-0 on the fourth best team in the league. Wilbon, how much trouble are your Leafs in?
They're in a lot of trouble, Tony. Although I know they lost game one against Tampa, they came back. And they won, you know, game two. And they won three on the road. You know, I mean, I get it. And they seem to be able to rally themselves now. But we are only in the second round. And I don't know. Just I don't know that you can do that against a Panther team that eliminated the Bruins. I mean, they feel good about themselves as well. I'm rooting for Toronto. Up 2-0 last night. I felt pretty safe. How stupid a feeling was that?
Yeah, I don't know how you judge Toronto. They're 1-4 at home in the playoffs and 3-0 on the road. I don't know what you make of that. Both of us thought Tampa Bay had a good chance against them, but they came back and they beat Tampa Bay. So I don't know how much trouble they're in, because if they're that good on the road, now they go to Florida, you know, maybe they win two games there. What I'm certain of is this. I'm certain they are killing the original six, right? Toronto's the last original six team left after they knocked out Boston, and they got them 2-0 at the moment. You say this all the time. You sit on that chair and you say, hockey is the hardest one to win. Eights beat ones all the time. Fluke goals change series all the time. Goalies get hot.
Yes.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. Let's take a break. Coming up, we will ask Theo Epstein which of baseball's changes he's proudest of and which haven't been working the way he envisioned.
We're also going to ask him whether baseball will enact anything to bring back starting pitching and, dare I say, complete games.
Very hard on Budenholzer. You are. You're hard on him. He wanted.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's dig into the changes that baseball has made this season with baseball's special consultant for on-field matters, Mr. Theo Epstein. Let's start with this, Theo. We have seen so much praise for the changes. What particular piece are you most proud of?
I think as an industry, I think we're all pretty proud of the pitch timer because it's really restored the game to the way it was meant to be played. I think baseball was meant to be played in about 2.5 hours and meant to have the ball in play a little bit more, meant to have more action, meant to have the rhythm and cadence that we see now, beautiful flow to the game. So, you know, it's a testament to, I think, the great attitude that the players and the teams and the umpires have all had, preparing for the pitch timer, and they're able to play at a really high level and have the same great game, even more action, and get it done in 2.5 hours.
Theo, it seems like the response nationally has been overwhelmingly positive about that specifically and other changes, but is there anything that hasn't worked so far the way you envisioned?
It's all kind of worked the way we envisioned. I think that's a product of testing all the rule changes in the minor leagues over the course of 8,000 minor league games and throwing out the things that didn't work, getting feedback from the players and improving the rules, making sure we avoided unintended consequences. And, you know, it's been pretty much according to design. We've had to make adjustments along the way for things we didn't anticipate, little nuances that the players have brought to our attention where we've made some adjustments. But, 28 minutes shorter, I think we were 26 minutes shorter in the minor leagues. We wanted to see a little bit more run scoring. We're up about a run per game. Average, we wanted to go up a little bit with the shift restrictions. We're up 13 points on average, and we wanted to boost the running game, and we're up to 1.8 stolen base attempts per game now, which is the highest in more than a decade, 79% success rate. So all the data is telling us that it's going according to plan, but of course, we still are in monitoring mode. We're still listening to the players, still trying to make sure that we get this just right.
All right. This is something that drove me crazy yesterday. I have no idea whether there's a way to do anything about it, but starting pitching, when I see a pitcher with a no-hitter removed from the game in like the seventh inning, I want to run on the field if I was in attendance and say, stop. No relief pitcher can come in to replace this guy. He's got a no-hitter going. Starting pitching, is it going to be reduced to rubble, or is there any sense that something should be done to reward it and emphasize it once again?
Yeah, I think we agree that there's a compelling fan interest and therefore an important interest in restoring the prominence of the starting pitcher, because the starting pitcher in a lot of ways is the protagonist of the story. When you're going to games as a kid, it was who's pitching today. Oh, great, it's Roger Clemens. I'm going to see Roger Clemens over the course of the next 2.5 hours. See his trajectory, see his ups and downs, how he responds to adversity. And that's, that's an important character in the game. And when it's 4 2/3 and then turn the game over to 9 relievers who are all throwing 100 miles an hour, I think something's lost a little bit in that. So I think identifying that as an issue is the easy part. Finding a way to fix it is the hard part. You know, one thing that's really different, when we were growing up, there were 10 pitchers on a pitching staff. And so the starting pitcher's job was not just to miss as many bats as he could over the course of five innings and then turn the ball over. It was either hand the ball to the catcher or at least get into the, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth inning. So quantity was important. Volume was important. Efficiency was important. That's what, you know, you'd sometimes throw a 1-1 sinker down the middle just to get a ground ball, just to get deep in a game. You don't see that anymore. So, you know, I think we did limit the size of pitching staffs to 13. You know, maybe down the road, that's something that you consider, you know, tweaking even a little bit more. We're testing the double hook DH rule in the Atlantic League that rewards teams for keeping their starting pitcher in the game longer by virtue of keeping your DH in the game, or penalizing teams if they take their starting pitcher out early. So there are ways to get at it, but, you know, fundamentally the way teams are constructing pitching staffs now, and the way modern pitching is max effort, miss as many bats as you can, it's going to take some intervention, I think, in order to restore the prominence of the starting pitcher.
That's really interesting. Now that's really interesting.
It is.
We'll get you out of here on this, but I'm going to tap into the fact that, you know, you were GM and you won World Series with the Cubs and with the Red Sox. One of them's over your left shoulder, so you know what you're doing. Given the fact that there are these new rules and you had a hand in the new rules, if you were a GM today, how would you construct a team to make the most out of the new rules?
Well, you know, I think we're seeing that in the game. If you look at, you know, what the Rays are doing, and they certainly do a ton of things well, but, you know, even a team like the Pirates, I think the teams that are younger and have a lot of athletes on the field, and really have a lot of range on defense and go out there and make plays in the infield defensively, run the bases really aggressively, have a lot of team speed to go with that athleticism. Those teams are surprising and thriving a little bit. And, you know, I'm not going to say that's, you know, primarily because of the new rules. There are a lot of young teams out there that's playing great overall baseball, but maybe the rules reward athleticism and speed and putting the ball in play and playing great defense a little bit more than the way the game had been played the last 10 years. You know, there's more ways to score now. It used to be, you know, the game had evolved to a point you try to draw a couple walks and hit a 3-run homer because, you know, the ball was never in play. And so teams that walked a lot and hit a lot of home runs thrived. Now you can score with a single, stolen base, and a single, you know, without the shift anymore. And you're seeing more of that. So the fact that there's a diversity of approach, I think, is good overall. It gives more teams a chance to succeed playing the game different ways. So if I were a GM, I would probably, you know, try to trend towards athleticism. I wouldn't make any compromises in defense because the ball is going to be in play a little bit more, especially in the infield. Those infield with the shift restrictions, infielders are on the spot for do or die plays all the time. And then get a lot of guys who can run because, you know, there's a 79% success rate on stolen bases right now, the highest in history, which probably tells us that teams can even push it and run a little bit more. But teams that are running are having a lot of success and surprising out there. So I think it's good for the game to have a lot of different ways to put teams together.
It's really a pleasure to have you.
Fascinating.
And we're learning things. Thank you, Theo. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Enjoy it. Take care.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, Alabama fires its baseball coach. What should we make of the circumstances?
And will the Sixers and Suns win at home tonight? Tony, Fergie Jenkins, my hero, who never seemed to come out of the game ever. There's a bobblehead day coming up at Wrigley Field for Ferguson Jenkins.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 38th birthday, P.J. Tucker. The Sixers forward set an interesting, if dubious, record in Game 1 against Boston the other night. Tucker took no shots from the field or the foul line in the 37 minutes he played. That is the most minutes played in a playoff game without a shot attempt of any kind in the shot clock era. That's since 1955. That's 68 years. Clearly, Tucker is out there for defense. He played 25.6 minutes a game this season, averaging just 3.5 points and 3.9 rebounds. The Sixers actually tampered when they signed Tucker away from Miami for 3 years and $33 million and lost a draft choice as a result.
P.J. Tucker, really smart, interesting, fun guy. Everybody knows he knows more about sneakers than just about anybody in the world because of his sneaker collection. What they don't know, Tony, and you would love this about P.J., is that he's a wine guy. He knows more about wine than just about anybody. I know this from his time in Arizona. That's a diverse collection situation, isn't it? Wine and sneakers?
Wine and sneakers, yes. Yeah. Very diverse. Happy anniversary, Calvin Burrell. On this day 16 years ago, Burrell won the Kentucky Derby aboard Street Sense. Burrell moved up from 19th place, which was next to last, to win his first Kentucky Derby. Burrell was nicknamed Bo Rail for his eagerness to take the inside path even when it was risky. Burrell also won the Derby with Mind That Bird and Super Saver, becoming the only jockey ever to win three derbies in 4 years. Only Eddie Arcaro, Billy Hardtack, and Willie Shoemaker, three of the greatest jockeys of all time, won more derbies than Burrell. And this reminds me that tomorrow is the first Saturday in May, Derby Day. Well, Ben, you like the horses. Who you got?
Tony, you know, I've been to the Kentucky Derby for the week with Andrew Beyer a couple of times, a great turf rider, Andrew Beyer. But two things I've never been to in America, only two left. Daytona and the Kentucky Derby, the actual race. Never been. Everything else.
Well, Andy Beyer likes the Japanese horse, Dermasotogaki, and my friend Eddie likes Mage. Happy trails to Alabama baseball coach Brad Bohannon. Bohannon, who had coached at Alabama since 2017, had a 166-124 record there, fired yesterday amid a widespread investigation into suspicious betting activity on a game between Alabama and LSU last week. Surveillance video indicated a person who placed two bets on LSU was communicating with Bohannon at the time. LSU won the game 8-6. Alabama's starting pitcher was scratched because of back tightness, and his replacement hadn't started since March 16th. To this point, there is nothing publicly known about Bohannon's possible involvement in this, so it's a story that can make us uneasy. But it's yet another mess at Alabama following the terrible behavior by several basketball players, including one who was charged with murder.
But you know, Tony, gambling and sports gambling, it's so out front. It's legal everywhere, just about everywhere. It's in front of you all the time, including on this here network. It doesn't seem scandalous anymore when somebody's involved with gambling. For whatever, not to me. It's just like, oh, okay, yeah.
Big finish really quickly. The Stars keep the Kraken to even their series at a game apiece. Your thoughts?
Pavelski scored again. But, the Kraken, man, it's this sort of Cinderella-ish. Lionel Messi apologized via Instagram to PSG and his teammates for that trip to Saudi Arabia that got him suspended. Water under the bridge now?
I don't think so. That was really a selfish act. The Rays swept the Pirates. They're now 26-6. That's a big deal.
Fastest to 20 over since the 84 Tigers did it, and they won the World Series. Red Sox have won six in a row. The Sox, you impressed?
Very much so, and they've beaten Toronto, division team. Last one, Celtics, Sixers, Nuggets, Suns tonight. Who you got?
Sixers celebrating toast. Joel Embiid, Suns saved their season, at least for the night. That's what I got, even without my man Chris Paul.
We're out of time. Trying to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. Check out the NBA countdown at 7 Eastern tonight ahead of Sixers Celtics. And now, here's SportsCenter. But we won't be in it tonight, Tony.
So no SportsCenter segment. No. So call off the asteroid. We don't need the asteroid.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football. and what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.